we were a true team in the Wakanda years because everyone trusted everyone. The kids bought into what we were trying to do. I bought into what Todd was trying to relay. He bought into what I was trying to do offensively. And when the administrators buy into everything, it makes sports and it makes their job a whole lot easier. We had a good run there at Wakanda.
That's Keith Christine. He is our featured coach today as we wrap up Coaches Week on the Sports Ticket. If you missed the other interviews we had with Steve Tiernan earlier this week, Ken Piazza, Don Melby, or Dell Walters, are all posted on our website, kdcountry94.com. You scrolled all the way down to Sports Ticket and click and listen to those interviews if you missed them. And Keith Christine will join us here in a little bit. Also, Doug Ubelaker will join us in a little bit as well, talk about him retiring as athletic director at Osborne. Want to jump right into it because we're running a little bit behind today. I got some KU sports news to pass along to you. Former Kansas football coach Pepper Rogers has passed away at the age of 88. And a successful coach at Kansas, certainly. And the non-conference schedule has been released for KU men's basketball. And they've got some interesting games. They will play Creighton. That'll come to Allen Fieldhouse. They will take on Virginia at the Wooden Tournament in November. They'll be at Colorado against Kentucky and Chicago at the Champions Classic in early November. And also, of course, they'll be a part of the Big 12 SEC Challenge. Missouri on the docket this year, December 12th at Sprint Center. What a crazy event that should be. They got UCLA at the Wooden Tournament as well that they'll play possibly, and or will, I guess. And Georgetown will be interesting, although they're losing all their best players. USC, Harvard, Southern Utah, Stony Brook, Omaha, Eastern Illinois. Those are some of the non-con games, but the most interesting probably is that Missouri game December 12th, November 10th against Kentucky, then UCLA after that. Creighton coming to Kansas is kind of interesting as well. So the KU non-con basketball schedule has been released, and once again, for KU, it is very, very difficult, but they don't usually back down from anybody, and it usually helps them when it comes seeding time for the NCAA tournament. Okay, I mentioned George Brett's birthday. He had batting titles in 76, 80, and 90. When we talk about these, who's the greatest player of all time, you know, LeBron, Michael, Wilt, Bill Russell, whatever, whoever you want to throw in there, who's the greatest Royal of all time? You don't even ask that question. That's a waste of time, okay? George Brett is the greatest Royal of all time. There's no debate. There isn't. And if anybody debates that, you are extremely naive and do not understand anything about history, and you believe that nothing started until you were born. Because Eric Hosmer is not better than George Brett, okay? Salvador Perez is not the greatest Royal of all time. I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you. Neither is Alex Gordon, okay? Or Alcides Escobar, Lorenzo Cain, whoever you want to throw in there, Zach Greinke. The great, and not even Bo Jackson. The greatest Royal of all time. Now, Bo Jackson maybe could have been if he kept going. But the greatest Royal of all time is the only one that's in the Hall of Fame representing the Kansas City Royals, and that would be Mr. George Brett.
Yes.
It's not even close. George got 98.5% of the vote at the time, was the highest vote receiving in regards to getting into the Hall of Fame. Brett, 3,154 hits. Why do I know that? Right. I don't have to look it up. I have it memorized. Yeah. The guy got beat up and hurt and missed a lot of time and still had some unbelievable years where he had lots of triples. He had tons of extra base hits. And then, of course, when it came to 1985 in the ALCS against Toronto, he single-handedly won a game that kept their season alive, and he was great in the World Series as well. And George Brett was a phenomenal player, and if he didn't go all out all the time like Ken Griffey Jr. did, mm-hmm. those two went out all the time. They didn't have load management, time management. George Brett, I'll never forget it, Kwame, he said, he goes, why did I play so hard? Because I always felt like every play could be my last, and I always wanted to give it my all on my last. And so George Brett sometimes would, you know, do things and got hurt. So did Ken Griffey, run into the walls and make catches. Mm-hmm. And today's athletes really tend to stay away from that. Probably the only exception I can think of right off the top of my head is Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper's not afraid to put his body on the line and
Alex
dive.
Gordon
and do
isn't
this.
Either.
Yeah, Gordon does it too.
On the defense.
Yeah, true. You know. That's true on the defense side. You know, but there's guys that will lollygag the first when they hit a ground ball. Brett always ran it mm-hmm. hard. And George Brett, Ken Griffey, their numbers would be even better had they stayed healthy and maybe did have load management or whatever you want to call it, miss a day here and there and take off. And George Brett's a legend in Kansas City, still is, will always will be, and he's the greatest Royal of all time. So the question really is, who's the second best Royal of all time? And that we might discuss another time when we need something to talk about. Major League Baseball, let's see here. Unbreakable records, Major League Baseball history. 511 wins by Cy Young. Cal Ripken played in 2,632 games. How about the career record for triples, 309 by Sam Crawford? The active leader in triples is Dexter Fowler with 82.
Well,
how about home runs? Anybody going to break Barry Bonds at 73 homers in one season? I don't know. The single season batting average record is 440. What about career batting average? Ty Cobb, 366. You know, Tony Gwynn has amazing numbers and not even that good. How about a pitcher that would have to average 285 strikeouts per season for 20 years to get to Nolan Ryan's 5,714? Yeah. Those are unbreakable records, no question. You know, the better answer question we should throw out there, and it was thrown out to my buddy Seren Petro, because I tweeted him and he retweeted, which was cool, when I put out there, you know, what's the most unbreakable record in professional sports? And then we started talking about mainly baseball. And he said, well, that's a great question, and I'd say Cy Young with 511 wins. You'd have to average 25 wins a year as a starting pitcher for 20 years just to get to 500. Mm-hmm. You'd still be 11 short. So what about today's modern day numbers? Like 300 wins used to be, yeah, you can get the 300 wins as a starting pitcher. We mentioned early win, he had exactly 300 wins.
Mm-hmm.
There's not many pitchers that stay in the game long enough now to get the 300 wins, and on top of that, they don't pitch deep enough in the games to get wins sometimes, and bullpens blow leads for guys, and now you got to worry about, you know, you only pitch once every 5 days, and there were pitchers that got the 300 wins, they pitched once every 4 days, and so forth and so on, and then you got the investments in these guys' arms, so you shut them down as soon as there's any kind of, ooh, there's a tweak.
Yeah.
We're getting to the point where we may not see another 300-game winner in Major League Baseball history.
That's
forget 5'11".
Yeah. Yeah, I can't. I can't think of how you can do it right now, unless you're a veteran in the league that's close, and there's not any of those.
Let me throw you another one out there. Will another Major League Baseball player ever steal 100 bases? Forget 130, which is a single-season record by Ricky Henderson. And Willie Wilson did that a few times for the Royals. Is there anybody in Major League Baseball history or in the future that's ever going to steal 100 bases in a season?
I mean, not if they play the way they are right now. It's not going to happen.
I agree.
No.
Complete games, that record will never be touched. Shutout, so forth and so on. It's just these numbers, some of these are so long ago, it's just not going to happen. But some of more of the modern ones, you know, stolen bases, is anybody going to get to 80, let alone 100 stolen bases?
Yeah.
What about hitting 350? Forget 400. What about 350 for a season? You know, we can go through all these numbers.
Yeah.
You know, ERAs we've seen have been unbelievable, DeGrom and others, for pitchers. But what about innings pitched? That probably won't be touched ever again.
No,
for
won't.
Sure. And, of course, Cal Ripken, 2,632 consecutive games. Are you kidding me? Oh, I got a blister. I'm not going to play today. I'm going to sit it out, take my time, because I'm getting $10 million a year, and the owner doesn't want me to get hurt.
Yeah.
So that's not going to be matched.
Sure, Randy Johnson in 2009, probably going to be our last 300-game winner as a pitcher.
And that was 11 years ago.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? You know, Verlander, I don't know how many he has. He'd be the last. CeCe Sabathia had an outside chance if he kept going and staying healthy, but it's hard to do now in today's age.
Yeah,
no question. Interesting, unbreakable baseball records. Okay, the SEC administrators are going to vote next week on whether to open their athletic facilities as early as June 1st. According to multiple athletic administrators, this is a big vote because it would be a big step for the SEC ahead of college football season to vote on May 22nd, supposedly. They're going to vote about opening athletic facilities as early as June 1st. I think that's ridiculous, honestly, and that's crazy. That's 2 weeks from now. Do we really honestly think that's going to happen? Well, Lincoln Riley went out there, and I lost the quote here, but I'll paraphrase it as clean as I can. Lincoln Riley said that is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard in my life, that we're going to have athletes back on campus June 1st. He said there's no need to rush them back by June 1st.
No.
And I agree with Lincoln Riley. I totally agree with Lincoln Riley. So once again, this is all about money.
Oh,
all about getting everybody and getting back in a routine. And, you know, nobody's going to be super. I mean, well, obviously, a lot of people in sports in SEC country aren't going to be mad if they vote to, hey, bring all the kids back for June 1.
Yeah.
Unless you're a parent of the kid. And then you might go, I don't know. I want my kid on the campus of June 1 to do some kind of training.
Yeah.
So
I don't see it happening.
I don't either. I can see them voting for it to happen, though.
SEC, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. We shall see how that vote comes out a week from today, supposedly, is when they're going to cast that. All right, Doug Eubelaker yesterday was breaking news. He resigned on Monday. He retired, I should say, as athletic director. He's still going to coach and officiate and teach and all that. So he's not fully retiring, but he is retiring as athletic director at Osborne. And Dusty had a chance to catch up with Doug Eubelaker yesterday, and here's that interview. And then we'll hear from Coach Christine on Coaches Week.
Welcome back here on Kitty Country 94 Sports with Doug Eubelaker, who has announced his retirement as the athletic director for Osborne High School after 33 years doing the job there. First of all, Doug, congratulations on a great career and a long career there. I guess one of the biggest questions would be, why would now be the chance for you to step down as the AD there at Osborne High School?
Well, I just thought that the time was right. My wife's retiring from teaching after 44 years, and over the years, we've missed a lot of our family's things, and I got grandsons that's getting up there about to the middle school age and this and that, and I wanted to be able to attend their things, and you know, now that she is retired, she could go with me to different things, but she said she didn't want to do that either, so I just felt that, you know, now was probably the right time to do it. No matter when you do it, I'm gonna miss this greatly. The people that I'm around, the coaches, the officials, the events, and all that kind of stuff. But there just comes a time in your life where you have to make choices, and you have to start doing something else. And I just felt like this was the proper time to do it. So reluctantly, I wrote a letter to the board announcing my retirement from that. I'm still going to teach. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to coach track and still going to officiate volleyball and basketball. So I'll still have plenty to do, and I'll still be around people and this and that. But it's been a fun ride, I guess you would say. There's ups and downs and everything. And I told the board in my letter, I never dreamed that 51 years ago when I entered this high school from a little country school in Bloomington, Kansas, that someday I would be the athletic director running all these programs. I was so scared when I hit the high school. That day I was shaking, and my first day of football under Coach Dave Johnson, I was shaking, and I couldn't believe I was even doing all this stuff. And here I am all these years later, changing another chapter in my life.
When you look back over the 33 years as the AD there, what are some of the things that stand out the most to you, some of the highlights? I know you won some state championships as a collective athletic department there and had those opportunities. I know you've seen some of your family members have success there as well. What are some of the great memories that will always stick out for you?
Well, there's a lot of memories that one has when you've had the chance and to be in programs that are successful as mine. Of course, your highlights is when your own daughters are playing on teams and nieces that are on teams that are winning state championships, that always is a great thrill for your family and you as an individual and so forth. And, you know, winning the state championship in football in 1983 was a great memory. I was the athletic director plus helping as an assistant coach. Mm-hmm. During that period of time, well, actually, I wasn't the athletic director then. I became the next year, but the highlight of doing that and knowing we were coming to the next step. And, you know, the things that have went on during that period of time, one of the things that I'm very, very proud of is the fact that over that course of time, I never paid a late fee to Keisha for any form that was due to them. And another memory is that I've always tried to be highly organized to order all the equipment and uniforms and all that on early orders so that we got from 20 to 30% discounts on everything that we did. And mm-hmm. And I think probably another standout thing was when we got this new track in 2001, I think it was, and the people, when the Kaiser family donated a lot of the money toward it, he came to me and he said, I love track, and he said, I want you to get me a track meet in here that's memorable. And I started working on it, and by cooperating with Tipton Catholic School to help us with workers, we were able to put together a pretty big track meet. And there was 2 years in there when we had between 22. One year we had 22 teams, and one year we had 21. And actually, we allowed three participants per event, and we actually had more participants in the track meet than the Blight Relays has in their 2-1A division, and we've always kept our track meet at a 2-A 1-A school. Mm-hmm. So it was equal competition for them. But you know, there, when you go back and start thinking, there's a lot of things that are great memories to single things out. It's pretty hard to mm-hmm. do. You know, I got a preseason basketball tournament started here with Cocker City and Tipton and Downs at that time in Ogden. We got that going, which is kind of formed into the preseason we have now, but obviously it's changed a lot as the school's changed. Mm-hmm. And you know, those were things that when I look back that meant a lot to me to get for our school.
I know in 33 years you have a lot of great memories, but it's not always easy to make sure you're at these places and host everything. What are some of the biggest challenges that you think that might be out there for people that don't understand what everything an AD does?
Well, I think the thing that people sometimes don't understand until they become an AD is that your organizational skills better be pretty high, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of things going on. And you have to prepare for the things that are going to happen. You have to prepare for everything that's going to be ready to go, and then there's going to be the unexpected and all those things that happen once you get there. It didn't used to be nearly as tough, and I think most ADs will tell you that. The big thing right now is it's just getting harder and harder to find workers. The people that have worked it for years and years and years and years are wanting to quit, and it's hard to find somebody to replace them, and the dependability, because, you know, if somebody don't show up to help taking tickets, you're taking tickets. If somebody doesn't show up to run the clock for basketball, you're running the clock. They're just all those kinds of things. And then, of course, in recent years, as everybody knows, finding JV officials for all the events is just coming tougher and tougher and mm-hmm. tougher, because there just isn't as many people out there doing it. And so, luckily for me, being an official, I've been able to, if somebody can't make it on some night, you know, and I'm here, I can just step in and officiate. But there's just a lot more to it than I think some people realize until they get into it. But, you know, every job is that way.
Yep.
As you know, Dusty, we all think your job's really easy, but until we step into your shoes and find out what all you have to do and what's required of you every day, it's pretty tough, you know. The grass always looks greener in the other pasture, and so that's kind of the way it is with an AD.
Well, Doug, we certainly thank you for taking some time to talk about your career, and congratulations again on great success there at Osborne as the athletic director for 33 years, and we wish you the best of luck in your teaching and reffing and everything else that you're doing and everything else down the road, all right?
Well, thank you, Dusty, for all you've helped me with and all you've done for our schools. Greatly appreciate it.
Doug Ubelaker retiring as athletic director at Osborne after 33 years. Like I said, he'll be around. We'll be talking to him at events and so forth and so on. But there'll be a new athletic director at Osborne. And I talked about this yesterday, that he was athletic director when I played sports at Waukini.
Same.
Yeah. I mean, that was a while back, you know. I was high school in 1990. Let's see, I graduated in 94. So 90 to 94, 91, 94, whatever it may be. And Doug Ubelaker is AD of Osborne at that time. He's been there 33 years AD. So a little bit of a changing of the guard there, but makes sense on all his reasons why he's retiring as the AD and still going to be involved and still officiating everything else. So we thank Doug for all of his time and what he's provided, and certainly sacrificed when you're in these positions.
Absolutely.
Especially family stuff that he talked about. So we appreciate Doug joining us to talk about his decision to retire as athletic director at Osborne. If you missed that interview, it is available on our podcast page, Sports Ticket, at katycountry94.com. Next week, it'll be Rally Week. Monday, we'll be joined by Thunder Ridge Girls head coach Darren Grauerholtz to talk about the 2017 MPL Tourney Girls Championship game, the comeback game for Thunder Ridge in that one against St. John's Tipton. Tuesday, we'll relive the first-round boys' state title game for 2014 for Beloit when they came back and beat Wellsville. Wednesday, Smith Center amazing rally against Pike Valley in a regular season game. Next Thursday, Osborne comeback over St. John's Tipton in the regular season basketball in 2020. And then we will conclude our second week of the comeback weeks next Friday with one of the best ones I've ever seen, and that was Beloit against St. Mary's and how quickly it changed and went into double overtime when they rallied down 9 with about 4 minutes to go against St. Mary's in the sub-state semifinal out Riley County in 2019. We'll hear from all the head coaches that were coaches of those teams at the time. That's Rally Week next week on the Sports Ticket. All right, Keith Christine coming up. I'll let you segue in.
Yeah, Keith spent many years coaching in the area at Wakanda East and St. John's Tipton and with the Vikings and Blue Jays, and has a lot of interesting stories to tell for sure. So I think everybody will probably enjoy this interview with Keith about his coaching career and his love for sports and all the kids. And I hope you enjoy this one here on the Sports Ticket this morning with Keith Christine. Welcome back on the Sports Ticket on Katy Country 94, katycountry94.com. Coach's Week continuing with Keith Christine, former head coach at Wakanda East in football, St. John's Tipton in football, girls basketball, track and field, and coaching extraordinaire, Keith Christine from Wakanda East High School initially joining us. Coach, first of all, thanks for taking some time. It's going to be exciting, I think, to go back and hear some of your stories about your coaching career. Let's first take it back, though, to your high school career where you actually played at Wakanda East. You had the opportunity to play with the legendary coach Jack Clover there for 3 years, and then Virgil Richie, your senior year, and graduated in 83. Take me just over some of your highlights that you remember from playing in high school and some of the things, not just in football, but overall in all your sports in high school.
Well, I'll tell you, Dusty, I was a very excitable young man growing up, and I played my sports with a lot of excitement and enthusiasm and spirit. I was by no means a good athlete, but I bought into what Coach Clover and the coaching staff up there was doing, whether or not it was football, and then in all the sports that I did. Again, I was not exceptional, but when I say I was an exceptional student of being kind of ornery in high school,
No way.
So sports kept me out of trouble, Dusty.
Yeah.
And when I say the eligibility was not a factor for me, because I got along with my teachers well enough that I was able to maintain grades, and they didn't have great eligibility, not unless, you upset the coach or something like that there. But, I was fortunate to have some good runs in football with the teams that I played with, and that's because we had some really good kids on our team. We got beat a couple years in a row to state champion Midway Denton. Again, we were fortunate to be good enough to make the playoffs and have some nice runs. I played on the offensive line, and I was undersized, but again, I felt like the coaches believed in what I was doing and what they tried to get across to me. I gave my best effort each and every time out there on the field and in practice. Practices weren't always fun, but again, I think the hard work that we put out in practice and the way that Coach Clover ran his practices made it fun, as well as Coach Weiniger was there also. They made it fun, but yet, it was just one of them things that we were able to excel at. And again, played for Coach Clover for 3 years, and then Virgil Richie, coach retired, and we had Coach Clover, Todd Clover, that works with you guys. He was a classmate of mine, and we were the only two seniors going into our senior year. We won, I think, two games that year. Again, we played our rears off. I was the center, and he was the quarterback, and it was one of them things that I always got to touch the ball. Now, sometimes we couldn't get the exchange, but I always had my hands on it longer than he did. So, again, it's always the quarterback's fault. It's never the center's fault.
There you go.
And, that's my mentality was being the line coach and stuff, too. But we played hard that senior year, and Todd and I were fortunate enough to, get two games that year. Again, we lost a lot of talented athletes from the year before. We excelled, I think, the best that we could. Had Coach Clover still been around at, our senior year, we might have been able to get, another two, three more ball games that year. But we played in the, fairly tough Pike Trail League at that time. And, I was blessed to be able to have some success on the football field. Now, the basketball floor, and I love basketball to this day, but I was just one of them scrappy players that kind of some kids that I've coached, in girls and boys, kind of reminded me of them. They're kind of out of control, helter-skelter, wanting to do their own thing at certain times. But when I was corralled, I became a whole lot better basketball player when the coach got on me and made me realize what my role was on the team. And when I realized my role was probably not going to be scoring 15, 20 points a game, just playing defense, hustling after loose balls and rebounds, that's what made me become a better basketball player. And track, I wasn't much of a trackster. I remember an old track coach, Ron McKinney, when I was in junior high. I was bound and determined I was going to pole vault, but after like about 2 weeks and everybody was high jumping higher than I pole vaulted, we decided to probably hang up that old pole. But we had a good run at Wakanda East. But what kind of propelled me when I was growing up, Dusty, was I had a couple teachers that I didn't get along with. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to use this word. I think everybody will know what I mean. I hated them because they were tough teachers.
Mm-hmm.
They always rode me. Again, I wasn't the model student that everybody that teachers like to see all the time. I was that one that was going to test you. A couple teachers really pushed me, and now, looking back on it, they're some of my favorite teachers by what they got out of me, because they believed if, you know, they could guide me and lead me in the best way that they could. And these were really smart teachers that taught, you know, the 4.0 students to become professors at universities in New York and stuff. Got little old Keith Christine believing in himself and saying, hey, you would really make a good coach one day. And by a couple teachers and Coach Clover with his philosophy as being excitable and kind of that easygoing guy, that's when I kind of decided that I would like to coach someday, Dusty.
And you did end up coaching after that. You became the coach right there at your alma mater at Wakanda East. You, as a football coach, in 1992, you took over the program. First of all, what happened in between, you know, 83 and 92 as you finished up with school? And then take me through the process of, you know, actually becoming the head coach at your alma mater and how much that meant to you.
Well, again, Dusty, I was really excited for graduation to roll around and graduate from Wakanda East High School with top honors in the lower part of the class. Again, I attempted to go to school for a little while, college. Again, school and I just didn't get along because I was going to become a PE teacher as well as a coach. And my dreams were kind of gone when I decided that school wasn't for me. But again, I came back home and worked on the farm and different odd jobs and stuff, and of course got married and started having a family and stuff. And that's when I think I was like year number two or three when they started Rule 10 coaching. A spot happened to come open at Wakanda, and I got a call from someone and said, hey, what do you think about this here? And it's like, well, I'm not smart enough to do that anymore or what have you. And I went in for an interview, and again, the principal and superintendent made me feel real comfortable. And one, they were looking to get a little bit more excitement. I think back, Wakanda had struggled a little bit it wasn't the coaching that they struggled. Wakanda just went through some really lean years, and really kind of after Todd and I graduated there. I mean, but we came back, had a great senior class there at Wakanda when I took over in 92. The previous head coach from the year before stayed on as on staff and kind of helped me break in to the coaching thing. A lot of visits with Coach Clover at his house as well as Todd as far as what I thought that I wanted to do and what do we do here. And, you know, the one thing I remember Coach Clover always said, it doesn't matter the kids you got, you know, just keep them excited about playing. You know, if you keep kids excited about playing football, you know, to a certain degree, you get more out of it. And that's something that I feel like that whether or not it be football or basketball or even track through the years, no matter what levels that I coached, Dusty, I was able to get out, I feel like, the most. Again, I'm kind of old school, but we had started out that year in 92. We were a very excitable team. We had a good quarterback and a good nucleus of kids that had played a lot of football. And if I remember right, we ended up going 7-2, and we didn't make the playoffs because we had this team, Mankato Cougars, that had a good coach and Mark Freese up there that seemed like that they always just kind of throttled everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But that first year was a great learning experience. I was able to learn kind of on the field a little bit more. with the coaching staff that guided me as well as the rest of our team to becoming the best we could. And it just kind of settled in right there for years there to where we were always a team to be reckoned with. We made the playoffs. We had some really exciting games. Again, we got Todd. He came back and coached with me for a good number of years, and I was fortunate enough to work with him in basketball. And that's something that I always thought that we had really going well at Wakanda. Both coaches knew each other, were coaching at our alma mater. You know, we knew kind of each other inside and out and how we could talk and relay. We had a great relationship on and off the field, and that still carries over. But, you know, we'd work the weight room together. We'd talk offense, defense. We'd scheme. We were a true team in the Wakanda years because everyone trusted everyone. The kids bought into what we were trying to do. I bought into what Todd was trying to relay. Coach bought into what I was trying to do offensively. And when the administrators buy into everything and take care of the stuff and handle things the way that they should, it makes sports and it makes their job a whole lot easier as far as, well, Coach Christine didn't call the right play. They were in the wrong defense. He yelled at my kid, you know, what have you. Well, again, I go back to you got to be responsible. You got to be accountable for your actions. And, yes, I think that sometimes the kids need to be excited. You need to get on them. But also, most of the time, they don't see all that praise that you give them when praise is due. Well, we had a good run there at Wakanda the year that St. John's went to the title game. We beat them. You know, we beat some good teams throughout the years. We were fortunate to beat Mankato then a couple times in the latter years because we started believing that we could play with them teams. It's kind of like that Thunder Ridge game when I was at St. John's to where momentum just carries over and we finally got some wins there. But, again, it was really good and fun to be a part of, but the kids are who made it. The kids would, hey, Coach, let's go paintball. And, I mean, after practice, we'd go out to the Boehner farm, and the boys would spread bales all over and just have a good old time and just had a lot of good camaraderie. You know, even no matter who they were, whether or not they were the really good athletes or the kids like me that struggled to following instructions at time. But that's what made it fun. And as we grew, I feel like our teams never lost a game that they shouldn't have lost. You know, we played up to our potential almost all the time. And, again, getting the most out of kids is what it's all about. And I feel like at Wakanda we got out what we needed to get out.
Again, we're talking with Keith Christine, longtime coach here in North Central Kansas. You then from Wakanda East, you went over to St. John's Tipton to be an assistant coach for football there for a while. You coached junior high as well and then took over as head coach in 2010. And we'll get a little bit to the head coaching part of it here momentarily. But take me through that process. I know you worked with Coach Christians there early on as an assistant coach.
Yeah, you know, we ended up, it was kind of that timeline of our kids were getting into junior high and we chose to go to St. John's, and again, my wife got a job over there. I was thinking about possibly maybe getting out, but after some long discussions, I'll tell you, I was very fortunate to coach with Coach Christians. He taught me a whole lot about, when I say the game of football, life. He was a very compassionate guy that kind of took me under his wings. He was always in control, kind of well-mannered, I should say. And I thought we meshed really well together. But again, learning from other coaches is what it's all about. And I've been fortunate to learn from a lot of good coaches, not just Coach Christians, but the assistant coaches that I've, most all the assistant coaches that I've had through the years. But attending, you know, coaching clinics and the coaching network that I belong to and all throughout the state, helped me become a better coach. So I worked under Coach Christians for, I don't know, 4 years or what have you, and then I was able to take over a couple years after that.
2010 is when you took over as the high school head coach. You'd been doing some junior high coaching there during that stretch as well. But, again, we're talking with Keith Cressine here. 2010, and you mentioned, you know, taking over and being able to coach these kids. And I know that in 2010 you knew you were going to not have a lot of experience coming back from that team that went 11-1 the year before and made it to the sub-state championship game. So you knew probably you're going to have to play a lot of freshmen and sophomores, and they were going to be pretty green. But, again, in 2010, you take over, you go 0-9, and you've had that turned around by 2013 to an 11-0 start, and you went back to the sub-state championship game following to Sharon Springs. I guess that group, I think, probably holds a special place in your heart, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, it sure does, Dusty. That's what I was the head coach at the junior high level. That's kind of what helped me decide. You know, it wasn't deciding because we were going to possibly be good, but just being around football and loving the game, and it seems like when things look like they're going to turn sour, people kind of sometimes stray away. I knew that we had a good group of young men because of having the junior high program, and I don't think there's anything better than having junior high coach be on the high school staff. It only benefits everyone. You know, philosophies can be a little bit different, but I happened to be the guy in charge of both then for quite a few years there, and I thought it really worked well because, you know, they started understanding what I wanted, and that's something that I feel like all the kids that I've coached, the kids know what I want out of them. You know, sometimes that doesn't relay over to parents or grandparents at times, but the kids always knew, and that's what I was always about. So I take over this high school program that, you know, everybody's thinking, ah, man, you're not going to win a game. And, you know, I wasn't looking at, say, every year you might go down, say, hey, I might get this here. I took the job because I believed in the kids, and I knew that they would work hard and do everything that we asked. Well, there's a lot of difference between junior high and high school.
Mm-hmm.
We get into high school, and we had to make it as fun and, yes, preparing for not just this year to be as competitive as we can in that season, but preparing and looking down the road. Yeah, we don't want to look down the road, but we know that we got to build to become better and get to where we want. We had to look down the road, or I feel like St. John's would have been in a big slump then if we wouldn't have looked down the road to the following year or the first time that we got a first down. Because that year when we started out, now this is rushing, we had like negative 25 yards. I mean, we never made it back to the line of scrimmage. So we had to cut things up and make them a little bit easier, manageable. Goals as far as, okay, in order to get a first down, we're going to have to do this here. We just kind of started doing things like that there to where we got a first down. We got excited about that there. That was awesome, man. Like, we got a first down our second game, and it's like, wow, this is great, you know. Okay, now let's shoot for 2 first downs, or let's shoot for 15 positive running yards. Let's try to complete 2 passes. Not to the other team, to us, you know, little things like that there. And we just kept beating away, and, you know, finally it become, wow, now we can, our goals are scoring. Let's get a score now. Let's do the best we can at trying to tackle. Let's don't miss tackles. Let's be in the correct spot. Even if they steamroll our freshmen, if we're in the correct spots, we're doing the right things with the kids. And that's something that I feel like that year there was a great learning experience. One of the funnest years, when I say that I had, and we went 0-9, Dusty.
Mm-hmm. So again, you turned it all the way around, and by the time those guys that were freshmen were seniors, you're one win away from making it to the state championship game. You had five playoff appearances there at St. John's Tipton in football. Just the highlights of what you're able to do there in 2013. I know we talked and we've talked multiple times about how that Thunder Ridge game was a big one for you to kind of turn things around. But that group, and then I had, you know, I always kind of ask if there's a coach that thinks that maybe one of their teams could have been that team that could have won a state championship. And I know you lost a lot of seniors in 13, but in 14, I had you guys ranked number one to start the season, but you had a bad injury with Parker Gates during the season. And then it seemed by the end of the year, you just had a lot of injuries. Just through those couple years where you kind of felt like maybe you could be on top, what were some of the highlights during that time?
Well, I'll tell you, Dusty, injuries do play a key role in all athletics, no matter what. There's something that's always involved, luck and staying healthy. If you have a little luck, now I don't mean bad luck, recovering a fumble, catching that fingertip pass, you know, not turning the ball over, but staying healthy, sometimes you don't have control over that there. One, you know, you got to be in shape. That I feel like we've never lost a game because we were out of shape. But injuries do play a toll, especially when things start to limit and you don't have the number of kids playing on the field. And then you're trying to get more mileage out of your good kids, and then unfortunate things do happen. And, you know, again, if we could have remained healthy, we would have made a pretty good run. And, you know, the luck of the draw of going to east to west a couple different times. Sharon Springs beat us up in the west, you know. But, again, I was just fortunate enough that we had good kids and the kids believed in what we were trying to do, Dusty.
And we're talking with Keith Kersine, longtime coach here in North Central Kansas. So we've talked about football here and you know, broad spectrum, but you also coached the girls' basketball team there for 12 years at St. John's, and then when Tipton came in with the cooperative as well, and had a lot of great years there, made it to the state tournament four times in the cooperative, and you won the state championship there in 2015, and we played that earlier during our state championship week here on the Sports Ticket. This time as the girls' basketball head coach, I know there's probably a lot of memories that stand out there for you. But what were some of the highlights in that time for you?
Well, I tell you, Dusty, we had some really good years there at St. John's girls basketball. My style, of course, when I say this year, I was raised with six sisters and a brother. We didn't spare the girls anything, you know. I mean, if they were going to beat up on us, you know, growing up, we were going to make them a little bit tougher. We loved to hate each other growing up. But again, my mentality was, I'm going to treat every kid the same, whether or not they're boy or girl. Yeah, feelings with boys and girls are a little bit different. But again, my style wasn't going to change to become a girls' basketball coach. Coach basketball at Wakanda as an assistant coach, junior high head coach. I mean, there was one year to where I was coaching four basketball teams. I was an assistant on the boys when Coach Bergman started there one year, and I had a lot of basketball, but I was going to demand the girls play. They were going to be tough. Their mentality was going to be tough. They were going to play defense. They weren't going to be afraid or intimidated by anybody, and that's something that I think that we did at St. John's. Again, having assistant coaches buy into your system as well as the girls, I thought really worked well, especially in the latter years when Coach Eilert was there. She really bought into what was going on and understood my philosophy a whole lot better, because as being a parent of someone and then working with things, but we just became one of them teams to where I felt like we were in the top five each and every year for quite a few years, and we were fortunate enough to win, you know, the state title there. And again, we got lucky in the state tournament. Liz is shooting a 1-1, and she misses it. And everybody thinks it's a two-shot foul. Liz is the only one pretty much in the whole gym. When I say other than me, Liz gets the rebound. We probably don't win that game, you know, to move on to the state final if that wasn't there. You know, just being lucky like that there, where the ball bounces and you make the right things, staying healthy, you know, because Brenna that year at the state run, I mean, she about got knocked out. It seemed like the game one or game two that she had to sit on the bench a while because she had a nice pretty lip and, you know, things like that there. It could have been worse, you know. She could have got a concussion and had to sit out or something. But just being lucky, but again, making the plays that needed to be made, coming down the stretch. But again, there was a number of years there to where I was doing the junior high girls and working with the high school girls. Just made the flow go really well in the early years. And then as I become a little bit older, I needed to slow down on things, so I gave some things up. Then it takes a little bit while for kids to understand your system and stuff. But again, it was real fun experience for me, as well as growing with the young women that were involved in our program.
And I know you've had kind of a unique situation in that we're talking about football and girls basketball here, where both places you were, you know, toward the latter years of Wakanda East and then all through St. John's in football and then eventually in basketball as well, where Tipton came over. So you had a lot of relationships with those Tipton kids for a lot of years too as well, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I sure did. And, you know, you're talking about a year that might stand on my mind. The year that Tipton came over to Wakanda, we had, I'm going to say, one of the, probably the best team that I'd ever been involved with. And, you know, could we have made a state run that year? I feel like the problem was, in order for us to continue on to the playoffs, Tipton could play with us, but when it come playoff time, they couldn't play. And we had Johnny May and Aaron Gasper. There was a couple other kids. They just stick in my mind. One was the fullback that was an all-area, all-state football player, and then Aaron that had an arm and made good decisions. That you take the two most important people off your team and try to play in a playoff run, you struggle. And but, you know, if we could have played together with Tipton that whole year, we would have made a really nice run that year there, Dusty. But, you know, again, the Tipton kids were just like the Wakanda kids and the St. John's kids. You get them believing in what you're doing, and it was really nice. And the same thing goes, you know, when I was at St. John's, when they came over and played. When I say it was made to be, you know, there was pros and cons, you know, as far as practice times and things like that there. But, again, it came down to the kids on the field and the floor. And we were fortunate because lots of times what we didn't have at Wakanda or St. John's, Tipton brought to the punch. And the more numbers that you have, you know, the more choices that you got as far as making yourself better as a team. And that's something that I feel like that when there's pressure on you to perform a little bit better, especially in practice, because we all hate practices, but if you perform to your peak, you're going to make yourself better. But the number one thing is coming together as a team. If you can make your team better, you're a player.
I know that, you know, through this whole interview and throughout my time knowing you, Keith, that you have always established special relationships with your players and your kids. And one thing I want to go and extend upon that with is, how much fun is it when you go up and you coach against the Drew Duskies over at Lakeside and Travis Eberly over there at Lakeside? I know Alyssa Gasper was an assistant one year. Those are the names off the top of my head. But how much fun is it to maybe coach against some of the players that you coached while they were in school?
Well, you know, it's really fun. It's exciting, one, because they were good players. They bought into your system. They know you as a coach as far as what you're wanting out of your kids. Probably what the, you know, it's just like coaching against an opposing coach that was on your staff, knowing what your favorite plays were or what your nicks were or what you looked at when you're looking at a scouting report and stuff. You know, that's exciting. But there's one thing that I've never taken into stock was, it's like, they're another coach. It's exciting to be coaching against them, but, you know, it isn't do or die. We're going to get our team ready to play them, you know, the Drews, the Travises, you know, the Alyssas. I'm going to say the Coach Petit's, when I coached against him, when he knew what the first play was going to be and we still scored on it, and everybody in the thing knew what we were going to run, you know. But, you know, that comes down to the execution. But it's exciting because they were there. They were part of you. They understood. And then what's really kind of neat is you see the coaching styles a little bit. It's like, oh, he kind of got that from me because, or, you know, Coach Clover or someone that he was around, because growing up, that's where you learn from as your first coach. It may be your father, you know, your junior high coach, your high school coach. You kind of take shape that way there. But, you know, I always envision, and it still may happen, because I'm getting calls all the time, it seemed like, of, you know, I always thought maybe I'd coach, you know, in a sub-state game against my daughter Vanessa, that was a fairly decent basketball player or something like that there. But it makes it fun and exciting because they were part of your life. You were part of their life, and they were part of your life. And that's what makes it fun.
Again, Keith Christina with us here, longtime coach in North Central Kansas. A couple more questions, Coach. You did coach track and field there at St. John's for a bit of a time as well. What were some of the memories you have of that, and what was maybe your philosophy of getting those kids to be active in track?
Well, I'll tell you, that's one thing through the years, football or basketball, I always encourage kids. Track is one of them sports, you know, some kids are blessed that they can run fast or throw far or do this and that there, but then when you ask them, well, wow, you had a nice mile time or whatever, I hate running, you know. Well, you won state. Oh, you know, to a certain degree, getting them over, some kids over that, some like to run, some like to throw, but again, they don't like the preparation at times that go into it. Again, I encourage kids that were playing other sports, the more sports that you play in high school, junior high, that multiple sport athlete is what college coaches like to see. And again, the encouragement, you know, it's got to come from home too. And, you know, don't push them. But one, again, I felt like we needed to be kind of relaxed, have fun, take care of business. The harder you work for me, the more fun you're going to have. You know, coming off of a poor performance in track or on the floor or the football field, you probably weren't going to work as hard as when you win. Because when you win as an athlete, a track athlete, or any other sport, I think the more you win, you got to prepare a whole lot harder. And I feel like everybody that I worked with there at St. John's kind of believe that too. And again, when you're fortunate enough to have runners like we had there at St. John's for quite a few years, and they still do, they have a tendency to make whatever you do better, or your team a little bit better. So you can be carried by that there, and, you know, that's why some of the best coaches, track or whatever they are, they might just be a stat person, and they just go out and let the kids do whatever they want. But when you got the kids that put in the extra time to make themselves better, the results are there. And we competed really good, boys and girls, at the state level. Seems like the boys, when I was there a couple years in a row, we took second place. The girls, like a point and a half out of first place 1 year. So, again, the kids performed up to their potential, I think. But, you know, sometimes track can be one of them things to where we all like to have records and things like that there. And I'm not – records are there to be broke. But, you know, trying to get the most kids to the state track meet was always most important to me, because that's how you can most of the time win or stand a chance to win. And there's nothing better than Wichita, Kansas, you know, in late May at running at the state track. And St. John's was fortunate enough to have a lot of good athletes that made it down there, Dusty.
Yep. You talk about winning, and I was totaling that up. So 340 wins that you had in your career in the team sports and football and basketball. I know you credit all your kids for that. But you kind of look at now moving on. How you doing right now? How you mentioned the family, you know, Sharon, your wife, and Vanessa's coaching, and she's down at Madison, and you got your kids, Vincent and Vaughn. You got some grandkids, too. Is everybody staying healthy?
Oh, yeah, we are. I tell you, you know, with this situation that's going on, I probably got more of a loving respect for my wife now because of it, because she's home all the time. It's been wonderful, I think, for our relationship. Again, my oldest boy, Vincent, he's up at Beaver City, Nebraska. He's blessed us with two grandchildren, Tucker and Hudson. They're 4 and 1, and we had to do Zoom birthday parties and stuff like that there. But they're doing well up there. And Vaughn, he's in Salina. He's doing really good. He's like a year and two in recovery, and he's super. I'm so proud of this young man, and he's just a go-getter. And then Vanessa, she's got her mind set to, you know, be good at anything she does, and she took over a struggling program down there in Madison, and they keep getting a little bit better and better, but they play in that tough league down there with Opie and Waverly and that there. Mm-hmm. So a couple years I seen them play, you know, it's like, Vanessa, you'd beat everybody in our conference, maybe not us or maybe not Thunder Ridge. She says, but Dad, I only won 9 games. It's like, yeah, but again, you take the big schools that she plays and this and that there, and, you know, she's getting better. You know, you get better as a coach, making your team better, and, you know, it's doing, and I'm just beating around, you know, trying to take care of odds and ends and, you know, trying to decide for sure. Again, I've received a number of calls, and I don't know what I want to do because I kind of like my independence a little bit, but I sure miss coaching, and, you know, I know one of these days that I will probably be somewhere and doing something again, Dusty.
Keith Kersine, longtime coach here in North Central Kansas at Wakanda East, St. John's Tipton, and as he said, maybe somewhere else. Who knows? We'll find out. But, Keith, we certainly thank you for taking the time to talk about your career. It's been a long and storied one, and I know you got a lot of great memories, and I'm happy that you're able to share some of those with us today. Stay healthy, and again, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I will, and I'll tell you, you know, 27, 28 years of being involved with the young men and women has, you know, that's helped me become a better father, too, as well as a spouse. But, you know, in that them number of years in the multiple sports that I was able to coach, you know, you put in the summer works and stuff, you know, I probably got 50-plus years of everything that I did, if you call them seasons, you know. But, again, you know, I've just been somebody's been really good to me and looking out for me, and they're going to continue to look out for me. Thanks a lot for everything, Dusty, that you and Wade do there at the station. You just really make the North Central Kansas, the sports, and everything you guys do up there just really rock.
We appreciate that, Keith, and we'll talk to you down the line.
All righty. Thanks a lot, Dusty.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.